Okay, the Mishnah on Lamites on the base. Mi shehayu peirosav v'ir acheres v'arvo b'nei oso ha'ir. So we are in the final daf of Beitza, where we are discussing the halachos of Tchum Shabbos, Tchum Yontov. A person is only allowed to travel up until 2,000 amos, unless they make an Eruv within a 2,000 amos reach, and then they can recalculate their 2,000 amos from that Eruv for a total radius of, in each direction, still of 2,000 amos, but that 2,000 amos center point is recalibrated to that Eruv, to that Eruv. So what happens? So let's just use towns that we're all familiar with. So I live in Passaic, New Jersey, and I have Peros with my friend who lives in Nutley, right? And let's assume for a moment that I would be leaving the Tchum in order to reach those Peros. And I want to be able to access those Peros on Yom Tov. So if I make a Tchum Yom Tov, if I make an Eruv, then, and I put something out at 2,000 amos, so then clearly I can then go and reach my peros without a problem. What if the people whom are holding the peros, they make the tchum, they make the eruv, and with that eruv, they want me to be able to get control of my peros. So says the Mishnah, Mishayu peros be'ir acheres, v'arvo b'nei oso a'ir, and they make the eruv, lahavi etzlo mi perosav, to bring me my peros, lo yaviulo. That does not work. They cannot bring me my peros. Why is that? Why can't they bring me my peros? Says Rashi. Ho v'chula arav l'sham da'kol karagli abayla. Because the food follows the jurisdiction of the food, klapi the tchum, follows the bailim, follows me, the owner of the fruit. And therefore, only I can make a eruv in order to render those fruits accessible to me on Yantif. The people of whom are holding my fruit, they cannot make an eruv for those peros. So those peros are considered part of me. They're part of my. So they have their own tchum, but in order to benefit from an eruv, that eruv had to be made by me. Vim arav hu perosav kamohu. If I make the eruv, then even if those peros are with somebody else, if I make the eruv, so then they can bring those peros to me. That's not a problem. Misha zimin etzlo orchim. Let's say I invite guests over on Yontif, and there's leftover food after the end of this delicious meal. Lo yolichu biyanda manos. I cannot send the guests with the leftover food. The leftover food presumably belongs to me. Now I want to hand it off to them, and I want them to be able to return to wherever they're coming from, which is outside the tchum, based on an eruv that they made, and they're going to use their eruv to transport this food, this leftover food, back to their house. Says the Mishnah, you cannot do that. Why? Because the food is considered in my jurisdiction. Even though I'm handing it over to them on Yontif, it's still considered my food. Its origins was with me. So therefore, since its origins was with me, it's considered my food in my jurisdiction. It is not subject to transport beyond the tchum based upon the eruv of somebody else. It has to only be based either upon my eruv or Elim Kain Zokola Emanosea Me'erev Yontif. Or the other possibility is that I am mezake the food to these other people before Yontif. Zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. It's a schus to have my food, right? My food's delicious. My food, my wife's food is delicious, right? For my food, it would not be a din of zachin. Would be chavin la'adam shelo b'fanav, which does not work. For her food, right? Zachin la'adam shelo b'fanav. So in order that, so I can be mezake the food to them. Then, when the meal ends, the leftover food belongs to who? It's their food. If it's their food, it can be transported beyond the tchum through the mechanism of the eruv that they have established, even though I didn't establish it, and they could take the food home. Itmar, says the Gemara, we learned, hamafkid peros eitzel chaveiro. So now I deposit, hamafkid, I deposit peros, fruit, with my friend. My friend Morty, I give him fruit. Looks like a guy that would appreciate fruit. So I give him fruit. So Rav Omar, Rav says, what's the status of this fruit? Kiragle mi shefkidulo. The fruit, since it's in the possession of Morty, the fruit is attributable to Morty with respect to Eruv Tchumen, which means the food can be brought beyond the Tchum based on an Eruv that Morty makes, having nothing to do with the Eruv that I make. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, Kiragle Amafkin. No, that the fruit is really based on the status of the person who deposited them. The owner is the one who retains jurisdiction over the fruit in terms of Erev Tchumen. So the Gemara then suggests, Lema Rav Shmuel, the Azdu L'Tamayu. We could perhaps suggest that Rav and Shmuel are, according to their reasoning, in another context in which the question of the jurisdiction of an item that is residing in someone else's rishos is debated. What is that? We have a Mishnah Ditznan. Im nichnis b'rishos, if I have an ox, and I take my ox, and I bring it into David Baumzer's rishos, into his chatzer, because David looks like the kind of guy that would appreciate a good ox. So I give him my ox, I put my ox in his rishos. So now, Bal HaChatzer Chayiv, if that ox does damage in David's chatzer, the Bal HaChatzer is Chayiv, David's Chayiv. He's Chayiv if the animal does damage, he's Chayiv if damage happens to the animal. It's in his rishos, it's in his chatzer. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, no, La'olam eino Chayiv, you're not Chayiv until... La'olam eino chayiv, you are not chayiv, ad sheyakabel alav balabayis lishmor. Until explicitly, if I just stick my ox in David's backyard, so then he is not the owner of, he's not responsible, it's not in his jurisdiction. Only if I were to explicitly say to him, David, you're going to accept Kabbalah Achrayas for this ox, and he says yes, and we both agree. So once there's an absolute explicit agreement, so then it becomes under his jurisdiction. But Stam, in a case of a regular case, it would be under the Rishus of the Baal, it would be under the Rishus of, not the Baal Abayas, it would be under the Rishus of the owner of the animal. But Amar Rav Huna, and says Rav Huna, Amar Rav, in the name of Rav, Halacha Kedivrei Chachamim, that Rav Paskin, that the halacha is like the Chachamim. Like the Chachamim, that who's Chayiv? The Baal HaChatzer is Chayiv. The person who owns the Shomer, the person who owns the Chatzer. Who Shmuel Omar, and Shmuel says, halacha ki Rebbe. The halacha is like Rebbe. That no, unless it's an explicit arrangement, that the original owner is Chayiv. Lema Rav, the Amar ki Rabbanon, and Shmuel, the Amar ki Rebbe. So perhaps we could connect the machlokas amoraim that we have of Rav and Shmuel by mafkid peros etz chavero to the case of nezikin. In the case of where I deposited the fruit by my friend, so Rav says it's considered to be under the jurisdiction of the owner of the home. So too, in the case, the sheet of the chachamim, right? The sheet of the chachamim, that if I put my animal in someone else's chatzer, that with respect to nezikin, it is under the responsibility and the jurisdiction of the owner of the home. However, and Shmuel, who says that if I put my peros in someone else's house, that it's really under the jurisdiction of the owner, so he follows the opinion of Rebbe, who says it's under the jurisdiction of the owner, unless some very explicit arrangement is made. So maybe this machlokas could be connected with that machlokas. Amalucha Rav, so says Rav, no, that's not true. I know the Amri, that you could follow my opinion, afilu l'Rebbe, even according to Rebbe. How can you follow his opinion according to Rebbe? Rav said in the case of the peros that it's under the jurisdiction of the owner of the house, and Rebbe's the one that says it remains in the rishus of the owner of the animal. So ad kan lo kama Rebbe awesome. When Rebbe said his position with respect to the context of nezikin, ela debistama lo kibalala enitirusa. That's because the case of nezikin, there wasn't an explicit arrangement. And Rebbe was talking about a case of stam. In a case of stam, where there isn't an explicit arrangement, then Rebbe follows the opinion that it follows the baal hashor, the owner of the original animal, not the owner of the chatzer. Aval hacha, but here, hakibola niterusa, hamafkid peros etzel chavero, that's a case where there was an explicit understanding that you're going to be the shomer, Morty's going to be the shomer over my fruit. If that's the case, if he's going to be the shomer of my fruit, then even Rebbe would agree that in that case, that it's mutter. So you cannot connect the case of Nezikin to the case of the peros and the case of Tchum Yontif. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel says, no. Shmuel says, correct. Not only that, but Shmuel's Shita as well. I know the Amri, I feel the Rabbanon. I could work even according to the Rabbanon. How could you work according to the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon said in the case of the Nezikin that it follows the jurisdiction of the owner of the house, and in the case of Mafkid Peros Eitzel Morty, that it follows the owner of the Peros. So how does that work? So Ad Kan Lo Kami Rabbanon Hasam. The Rabbanon only said their Shita, Ela Denichle Inish Denekum Torah Birshuse De Baal Chotzer. That because in that context, in the context of Nezikin, when I drop it off, in a case of Stam, It's nicha to me. I want it to be in the jurisdiction of the Bala Chatzir. It's in my interest. De'imazik le lo mechayev. That if I want to, if it's going to cause damage, then I don't want to be chayev. I want David Bamzer to be chayev. Aval hocha, but over here, minicha le le'inish delei compare b'rishus adechavre. Do I really want my fruit in the rishus of somebody else in subject to only their issues of Tchum Shabbos? No, I don't. And so therefore, that would follow through Ibn Ushmul. So these cannot be a line, these two machloksin. It's very possible that you could follow the shita of the Chachamim and still come out follow the shita of the Chachamim and still come out like Shmuel. You could follow the shita of Rebbe and still come out like Rav. And therefore, we don't link these two machloksin. Tnan, we learned in a Mishnah of Im Arev, who peiros of Kamo, peiros of Kamo, that if the original owner made the Eruv, right? In our case of Pesach Tanutli, if I made the Eruv, so then I can procure these items, because it's my Eruv, it's my peiros. The Ia Marta Kiragle Mishif Kidu Etzlo, but hold on, if we follow the opinion of Rav, that when something that belongs to me is in the Rishus of somebody else, that it follows their jurisdiction when it comes to Tchum, and they have to make the Eruv, ki Arev whom I have. So what does it help that I made an Eruv? Doesn't matter that I made an Eruv. It's my Peros, and it's in their Rishus. If it's my Peros and is in their Rishus, I can make all the Eruvin I want. It has to follow, ultimately, it doesn't follow my jurisdiction. So my Havi, so Amar Rav Huna, Amar Bei Rav. So Rav Huna says, name of Bei Rav, kigon sheyichad lo keren zavis. Exceptional case. Where in Nutley, where my peros were, they dedicated an area, a special designated corner. And that corner, it's not just my peros that are there. That corner became my property, so to speak. So it's my space and it's my peros. So it's not my peros that's mafkid etzel chavero. My peros are mafkid etzli. Just I have a certain jurisdiction over there. And so therefore, they could be nisyaches to me without a problem. And therefore, if I make an Eruv, I can go ahead and get a hold of those peros.
So just to sum it's basically, it doesn't matter who makes the Eruv, has to do, the person who makes the Eruv has to own the food?
The person who makes the Eruv has to be the controlling owner of the food.
Correct. The other person makes it on their behalf, it doesn't work.
No, it definitely doesn't work on their behalf, and it doesn't work. Or if they make it for themselves, in order that they could get the person the food, that doesn't work.
But you could have a shrift
so,
person the food.
So
right?
Even we'll get to that. But even if I make an Erev, the Gemara wanted to know. But if it's in somebody else's rishus, it doesn't. It's not nesiaches to me. But if I make the Erev and it's my peros and it's my rishus in his house, so that's the exceptional case, and that's the case where it does work. Toshma. Hold on. Misha Zimena Etzlo Orchim. We also had a case in the Mishnah where you invite over guests. Lo yalichu biyadam manos. You can't send food back with them. Elim kein zachalahem manosei amir av yantif. Unless you go ahead and you're mezakah them in the peros from Erev Yantif. The iyamarta karagli mishif kidu etzlo. And if you say the peros follow the context of where they're being kept, kizikalahem ayidei acher mayavi. Then what does it help to be mezaka the peros to these people? Hachanami kevin shezachalahem ayidei acher kamishi. Oh, sorry. So, what does it help to be miyaka the peros to these people? Even if it's their peros, it's their peros in my house. So, if it's their peros in my house, based on the principle of Rav, whoever is watching over the peros, that's the person that we attribute the peros to, le'inyan Erev Tchumin. So therefore, it shouldn't help. So what? So they own it. How does it help if they own it? It only helps if they own it, if they have it. But if they own it and I have it, it doesn't help them based on the opinion of Rav. So the Gemara says, he says, no. When you do this whole process of being miyached al das acherim, so that's considered like a case of Keren Zavis. A case of Keren Zavis that you're giving them property in, or controlling property in your home, and therefore it's ke'ilu, it's in their rishus, and they own it, because you were mezakah to them before, and therefore it could utilize their eruv, because it's their peros, and it's in their rishus, right? That's what you need. You need it to be your peros, and then you need it to be in your rishus. Then your eruv works. But if it's their peros and it's in my rishus, their Erev does not work. That's the whole din of Rav. So, but if I give them the Rishus, now it's their Peros in their Rishus in my home, and therefore it could work with no problem. The Iba Yesema, what?
All this is based on the fact that there's no big community Erev.
All this is based on the fact that it is an area that is subject to Erev Tchumin in the sense that there are unpopulated areas between these two places. Correct. This is a separate realm of Eruv. Forget the Tzuras HaPesach and making it a Rishus. That's
right.
A separate discussion. So Ema and the Vibay is Ema, and another possible answer to this question is Zocha Shaini. It could be that there is a difference between the case of Zikui and the case of where it's Stam sitting in your house. That if you're mamish mezaka them in the peros, even without the din of Keren Zavis, even without being makna them the Rishus, it's still giving it a sense of ownership, and therefore of more developed ownership, and therefore it's their peros, and it's so much their peros, it doesn't matter that it's in your Rishus. Rav's din of a mafkid peros, it's a chavero, that's not talking in case of zocha, that's talking in a case of pikado. Right? And where it's just being deposited there. It's being sort of watched there. But if your mamash mezake it for the person, so then maybe even without Karen Zavis, that's enough. That's enough. Maybe there aren't two criteria. There's really 1.5 criteria. The criteria is the person has to own it, but the person has to really own it, right? And if they really own it, then, you know, then there's no issue. Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi. So Rav Chana Bar Chaniloi had the following experience. So he lived in a particular town. And he was buying meat in another town, and he was lodging, so to speak, in between. He was staying in between it like an inn. And what happened? Tala Bisra Be'avra Didasha. They hung the meat on the door hook, right, of the inn. Hung the meat on the door hook. Think,
tried
salami. Okay, very good. All right, Baruch Hashem. So they hung the meat on the door of the inn. So says the Gemara, Tala Bisr Ba'avra Didasha. And the Shaila is, so what's the status of the Tchum? Can he take this meat back to his home based on his Tchum Shabbos? Right? Based on his Tchum Yantif. So Asla Kamed Rav Huna, that came before Rav Huna, and Rav Huna said the following: I at talis, if you are the one who hung the meat, then zil shakil, you can take it based on your tchum. However, vi in hu talu lecha, but if the innkeeper hung it for you, lo tishkal, then you can't take it. So the Gemara says, vi hu talu mi shakil, and if he hung it, why should he be allowed to take it? For Rav Huna Talmud de Rav. Rav Huna is a Talmud of Rav. So it's a problem because you may own the meat, and therefore you should be the one that could determine the ultimate tchum. However, it's a pikadon by the innkeeper. And based on the din of Rav, which Rav Huna follows, the innkeeper should be the one who is the controlling factor in determining the tchum for this piece of meat. So the Gemara says, no, Shani Avra, do you got it? You got it? Shani Avra Didasha, hanging in the meat on the door is different. Because it's such an extraordinary, I guess, use of the area, it's considered as if you gave him a Karen Zavis. So now, the owner of the inn is really giving the rabbi the door itself, and therefore it's his. And therefore, he hangs it. So it's his meat. It's his door. It's in his rishos. He owns it, and he could use his tchum, and he could use his eruv to get home to bring it home for yantif. Amar le Rav Hillel le Rav Ashi. So says Rav Hillel to Rav Ashi. Be inhu talule lo shakil. But the Gemara said that if the innkeeper hangs it, then he can't take it. Ay beha Omar Shmuel. So now we have a problem with that. The problem with that is that makes the assumption that the innkeeper hangs it, and therefore he can't take it. Why can't he take it? Because it's really in the rishus now of the innkeeper. It's really not just the innkeeper. However, Amar Shmuel, but we have a Ferish Adin from Shmuel that Shor Shal Pite Maru Kuragli Kol Adam. That when you give, when a Shor is in possession of the guy who fattens the Shorim up, that's considered Kuragli Kol Adam. In other words, there are certain scenarios, which we're going to see, three scenarios, where the assumption is that that undefined Rishuyos are sort of ambiguous, and therefore the original owner is considered to be okay with whatever is going on, and therefore connected to that rishus. So one of them is this. One of them is Amar Ravina Rabashavinu Tolule Lo Shakil. If the other guy hangs it, it doesn't work. But Amar Rabba Barachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Dosa. What's the din of Rabbi Dosa? That if you have a, that was earlier in the Masechta, that if you have a, I think a roe, if you have a, just looking for the Rashi, a shepherd. Correct. Krabidosa. The Amar Hariu Kuragli Aroe. The shepherd that ends up collecting animals along the way. Am of the Kane Ain Roe Ba'ir Elohu, since he's the only Roe. Vanantadi the Komishieshlobahema Datashtia Kiraglov. Everybody agrees that it should be like him. I'm Rinam Basrei Ozlov. The Kolchkein Acha de Ukmi Be Edi Bershuse Vadati De Talule. So certainly here, where he puts it in his Rishus intentionally, so the Das should be that it should be for him. So Amar Le Rav Ashi Le Rav Kahana. So V'iinu Tolele Lo Shakav Atznan Behemah V'Akelim. Also another source, a Mishnah, the Behemah and Kelim Karagle Abaylim. So Gemara says Ela Shaini Rav Chana Bar Chani Loi. So then the Gemara goes back and says, No. This whole discussion about Rav Chana Bar Chani Loi and when what the difference is between you hanging it and him hanging it has nothing to do with Tchum. What does it have to do with? Degaba Rabahu, he was a great rabbi, Vitarid Bishmaise, always learning, always involved in things, always busy. V'hachi Kamarle, and this is what we wanted to tell him. I atolis, if you hung it, is l'chosimone begabe. There is a din, the Gemara in Chulin tells us, there is a din called Basar Shenis Ali Mina'ayin. It is one of the more relevant halachos of kashrus that people are less aware of. And that is that if you have meat that is hidden from the eye of a Jew, that is not under the hashkacha of a Jew, basar shenisali min ha'ayin is asur. We assume that there's a possibility that somebody exchanged that meat with non-kosher meat. Basar shenisali min ha'ayin. And lo aleinu, we know of cases in kosher butchers where such things have happened. We know of other types of cases where such things have happened. There's a din of basar shenisali min ha'ayin. The exception to basar shenisali min ha'ayin is if there's a simen. If there's a simen on the item, so for example, if you go and buy meat at Seasons and it's all wrapped up nicely, and then you bring it to your office and you put it in the fridge, and then you're going to bring it home, that's not basar shenisali min ha'ayin, because we're not worried that that meat was exchanged by somebody else. It's wrapped up in a nice plastic wrap with a nice sticker with 18 hashkachas, and so you're good to go. You don't have to worry about basar shenisali min ha'ayin. The Gemara says not only that, but if a person has a tvias ayin on the meat, right? Let's say you're cooking meat for Shabbos, and it's a really juicy piece of meat, and you take it out, and you're giving it the spices, and you're into it, and you put it in the pot, and then you run out for 5 minutes to do carpool, and you realize, oh, my housekeeper's in the house, come back in the house, the meat's sitting there, is that basar shenisali min ha'ayin? Not necessarily. If you open the pot and you recognize that as the piece of meat, there's a tvias ayin on the meat, you don't have to worry. But stam, if you were to, let's say in your office, just wrap up in deli paper, you know, pieces of turkey.
A common example of nowadays is like if you, a caterer prepares a whole bunch of stuff, and he sends a truck with workers.
Correct. He sends a truck with workers.
So they have to make simanim on the back of the lock, and only the mashgiach can open
exactly
the lock on the door.
Exactly. Because who says they didn't take it somewhere else and exchange different things for things? So you need a simon, you need tvias ayin, and then you get out of bashan and salim in a ayin. So the Gemara says that's what they were trying to tell him, that when you hang this meat on the door, so he was very busy. He was very distracted. So Shani Rav Chanin Barachav Degav Rav Tar B'Shmaisei, V'alchi Kamar La'i, if you tell us, if you're the one that hung it, it's chasimana gavei, lo misrakat chaminei. You're focused on it, you know it, and you weren't masiach das. Zil shakl, you could take it, being inno, but if you let the innkeeper hang it on the door, so then tell lucha misach the daily velo tishko. You really weren't paying attention. When you come back to take that salami, it may look like a kosher salami, it may smell like a kosher salami, but it might not be a kosher salami. And so therefore, you cannot take your kosher style salami.
Actually, ever.
Ever. You have to consider it treif. Ein mashkin v'shochtin. So now the Gemara says, the Mishnah says the following. Ein mashkin v'shochtin is a medborios. There are two different types of animals in the world. Some of the animals are free-range animals. They roam the world. Some of the animals are more domesticated animals, right? And we work with them. So a person is not allowed on Yontif to water, to hose down, or to slaughter midborios, animals that are roaming, right? The assumption is that if they're roaming, they weren't within your das to use on Yontif, and therefore they're muksa, and therefore you can't water them down, and you can't go ahead and shech them. V'amashkin v'shochtin is a baisus. But you can do that to ones that are domesticated. Eloena by, how do I know what's domesticated? Halonus be'ir, the domesticated ones, they sleep in the city. Midbarios, the ones that are free range, the ones that are wild, halonos be'efer. They're in the pasture, they're out there, they're partying, they're having a good time. So the Gemara says, Lamali mashkin v'shochtin. What is the Mishnah talking about? You're not allowed to hose down an animal. One thing has nothing to do with the other. Mashkin v'shochtin. So the Gemara says, Milsa gav urche kamashmon. The Gemara, the Mishnah just wanted to tell you good advice. Delishki inish behemto v'hadar lishchot. That when you want to shecht animals, first you should hose them down, and then you should shech them. Why? Mishum sircha de mishcha. Because when you go to skin them, if they're wet, they'll come off the animal much easier. Yummy, yummy. Tana Rabbanon says the Gemara, Eloin midbarios, Eloin ubaisos. How do you know what are midbarios and what are baisos? Midbarios, the ones that are free-range, kol sheyotzos b'pesach, they go out into the wild around Pesach time, v'ros b'efer, they're in the pasture. Nichnotnos b'revi, and they come back around the winter time. B'revi rishon, the first rain, Ram cheshvan. Not the winter time, sorry, Ram cheshvan. The Eluhena Baisos, these ones are domesticated. They go outside the Tchum. Ubos Vilanos, Besocha Tchum. And they sleep within the Tchum, closer to the city. Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi says, no, Elu Baisos, hein. Those aren't wild animals. Just because a few months a year they go and pasture out there, and as long as they come back, they're considered domesticated. Eluhena and Barrios, what are considered wild animals? Kolshi Yotos Viros, Be'efer, Be'enichnas Li Yeshuv. They never come back to the Yeshuv. Lo b'yemos hachama, v'lo b'yemos hagashamim. Not in the winter and not in the summer. So the Gemara says, Umi eslay the Rebbe Muktza. It sounds from Rebbe taking a stand on this particular issue about what's considered a baisos and what's considered a midbarios, that he holds of the category, a broad category of muksa. But by mine Reb Shimon bar Rebbe mi Rebbe, but Reb Shimon bar Rebbe asked of Rebbe, Patsile tamra le Rabbi Shimon mahu. If you have dates that are drying, Rashi says, Shem ispashos be'ilon la'olam. You have dates that are not going to ripen on the tree at all, and you pull them off the tree and you put them in these kalim, in these baskets, and you allow them to try to ripen so they could be eaten. So what's the din? Are those considered muksa while they're not yet edible? While they're not edible. So Amar Lei says, Ein muksa le Rabbi Shimon. Ah, Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't have any categories of muksa, ela grogris v'tzmukin, only with dried figs and dried raisins. The case of dried figs and raisins, Rashi says, Shein mitchila ru'uyin la'achila, v'udacho son be'abai la'alos l'yivoshon. Those are cases where they are originally roi la'achila, and you dafka go, and you take them, and you dry them out, and you make them not roi la'achila. That's the only case Rabbi Shimon says will have a case of muksa. In other words, muksa is not a case where your das stam is not attributed to a particular item before Yontif, but rather you actively expel it from your das. If you actively expel it from your das, then it's considered muksa. Anything else, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not muksa, so the case that you brought up, that's not muksa. So the Gemara says, it sounds like Rebbe is with Rabbi Shimon. If Rebbe's with Rabbi Shimon, then what is he talking about? About the midvarios and the... It's all not muksa, according to Rabbi Shimon. So says the Gemara, Iba yisei mahanin amiku geres v'tzmukin. One possibility is that, no, the reason why he brought up the dummy, the reason why he brought up the midvarios is because midvarios are actually considered comparable to the case of grogeres and smukin. Because midvarios are animals that we are actively pushing away from our habitat, right? Like the Sternberg bear, right? The Sternberg bear,
it
exists. Right? Baruch Hashem, right? The Sternberg bear, they bring all these children up to camp, and then they tell the parents, don't worry, we have procedures when the bear comes, right? Not that they build a fence around the camp so the bear doesn't come. The bear comes. But what do we try to do? We try not to have food out. The bear doesn't come to the bunks. We try not to attract the bears. We try to keep the bears away. The bears are muksa. The bears are Sternberg bear is clearly muksa. There's a very famous song about the Sternberg bear.
I remember
Dovey the bear, the Sternberg bear. And I don't know, it has other lines, right? So the Sternberg bear is muksa. Why is it muksa? Because, not that it's kosher, but if it was kosher, it'd still be muksa. Why is it muksa? It's muksa because we're pushing it away. So it's like growers and smokim. So that's one possibility. So therefore, you can hold of Rabbi Shimon that there isn't a lot of muksa, and you could hold that you need to know what's a midbarios and what's a baisos, because you need to know what's together a wild animal and what's not. And there are those that say, Lidvarav Rabbi Shimon Kamar, Velelo Svirilei. That maybe he was telling him the din according to Rabbi Shimon, but he has an older Rabbi Shimon. The Ibay Yisema, and the other possibility is, L'divreyem d'Rabbanan kamer l'hu. He was saying it according to the Rabbanan. L'didi, according to me. This is the discussion he's having with the Rabbanan. He's saying, I'm not talking to you about whether or not there's muksa or not. I just want to enter into the conversation about what would be the categorical differences between Midbarios and Baisos. But I'm not necessarily entering into the conversation about their status as muksa. According to me, ain't muksa, they're not muksa. But according to you, that doesn't hold the Rabbi Shimon. That does hold the more expanded category of muksa. Oduli, you should at least admit to me, mios echa de yotzos v'ros v'pesach v'nechnasos v'ravio rishona de baisos ain. You should at least admit that those that go out to Pesach and come back, and then do roam the area and do roam the community, that those are considered domesticated, that those are not considered bears. Those are considered domesticated animals. Amrule Rabbanon, and says the Rabbanon, and here's the big climax of Maseches Beitza, lo midbario saying, no, those are actually wild animals. Hadron Aloch, Mashil and Peros, Veslika Maseches Beitza, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. It's Hashem next Sunday. We'll start Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Avrami, you were out when we gave you Akaras HaTov, so we'll just reiterate our Akaras HaTov. And you were also out when I reminded everyone to sign up to participate in the National Siyum. And since I don't want you to worry that I forgot to do that, once again, I'm not Torah, that it's not Basash Nisalim in Ayin, that everybody should sign up to participate in the Siyum. We look forward to celebrating next Shabbos. Next Shabbos, what we're going to do is I'm going to speak after Musaf for a few minutes, and then we're going to make a Siyum. We're going to ask everyone to come up. We're going to all make the Siyum together. So everyone should daven at the 9 o'clock minyan, and everyone should join together, and then we'll have a big Seuda, and then we'll, or at least be there at the end of the 9 o'clock minyan, and we'll have a big Seuda at the Kiddush. We'll have a big celebration, and Mazel Tov to everyone.